This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour three kicking off in the Fan Run studios. Hour three headlines. Hit them with us. Hit them with it. With us. Draven, go ahead.
A little rough. Listen,
I'm a little rattled.
Don't be scared, buddy. I'm not going to come at you. I know you're sitting there shaking.
I'm just vibing.
Wait for it to come at you.
I'm just vibing.
Okay.
I'm just hanging out. It's Friday to me.
Friday.
No, I don't like Friday. I'm going to be honest. I don't like
you over that?
So I think someone that's buying Birkenstocks.
No, Cam's just coming at me personally, and I don't really appreciate that, Cam.
Like I said, it's hard to get Cam upset, but you have hit a nerve here.
DJ Moore was his nerve.
So, I will say, like, if you got
what an unnotable nerve that is,
It sounds like Amari Cooper's great. Zeke's top five a quarter running back. Dak's so great. Like, Super Bowl or bust this year?
Okay.
They're better than everybody, apparently.
But what are you saying about the Titans over there? You're saying the same exact thing I am.
Super Bowl or bust?
What makes it
Super Bowl or bust?
Okay, I'm just making sure there's no difference between our two teams and expectations.
Hey, can we get some headlines?
Players.
Can we get some headlines?
Sucks that the Falcons don't have to say that about a star receiver, do they? It sucks they got to say that.
Oh, hold on. Here's where he's going to say Calvin
We'll see
Ridley's.
You in Dallas.
Here's
we'll see you in Dallas.
Calvin Ridley's
better than Amari Cooper. Don't even get me started there. That's not even close.
I wasn't going to argue. I wasn't saying that.
You literally set that up and you had to
Well, I figured it was Calvin Ridley's top five receivers where I thought he was going to go. But I do think he's better than Cooper.
Yeah, that's not even close.
Don't look at me that way. Yeah. Just go. Just move on. I don't want to argue with either one of you about this right now in June. But go next headline, please.
I just want to know how many receiving yards Calvin Ridley had this past year. I just
300, I think.
Yeah, what are you doing? Do you not watch football?
2019, what'd he have? I meant 2019.
Oh, when he's sharing catches with Julio. Is that what you... don't have the exact... I can pull it up if you want.
Mark Cooper sharing catches with Michael Gallup, who's a 1,000-yard receiver as well.
Oh, wow.
He's a 1,000-yard receiver as well.
Oh, wow. Mmm. Yeah,
866.
Michael Gallup.
866?
Yeah. And I think he missed a few games in the season as well.
Oh, wow. Not even available for the end of the season.
Y'all don't need to be available at the end of the season because y'all don't be making playoffs anyways. So, it's the same thing.
When's the last time the Falcons made the playoffs? 2017, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think Dallas made it a little bit more recent there, buddy.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. How'd that work out for you?
We won a damn playoff game.
Oh, wow. One playoff win.
And then,
wow.
Yeah. At least we won one.
How many do you have since, like, 95? Did we go through that 97?
Oh, my God.
Was it 3?
97.
It was 3?
But I can't bring up the past. But here we go. Time machine back to 1995. Here we go.
You're just acting like this is a trending event that you'll have playoff
wins. Can I please get to headlines, please?
I've asked you to do that.
Speaking of the past, on this day, 8 years ago, anybody want to take a guess what happened?
8 years
Cowboys
ago.
Cowboys lose something?
Oh, no. 8 years ago, 2013. One of the worst moments of my life. Ray Allen in the corner.
That is it.
Ray Allen in the corner.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Why was that the worst moment of your life, Spurs fan?
I won $8,000 had the Spurs won that game.
Eight?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What kind of bet were you on?
I had a Spurs future bet.
To win
the championship and a bet on the series. I was loaded up on the Spurs.
What was tougher, watching them just kind of blow it in game seven?
That one was tougher.
Tim Duncan.
Game 7 was also frustrating because
Tim Duncan missed that wide open layup.
Missed a little bunny over Shane Battier that would have tied the game.
Yeah.
And then LeBron.
And they kind of fell apart.
LeBron, one of the most clutch shots, I don't want to say in NBA history, but one of LeBron's most clutch shots. No one even really thinks about it. They're up 2 with like 30 seconds left, and he has that mid-range jumper with like 18 seconds left to go up by 4, pretty much win the championship.
Mm.
Where does this rank, though, speaking of just great shots, Ray Allen's 3 in the corner?
It's a foul. Why didn't they foul Chris Bosh when he got the rebound?
Why didn't they foul, LeBron?
He's
the one that took the original shot.
Well, they were fine with LeBron shooting the pull-up. He missed it.
Yeah, you're right.
Should have had Duncan on the court. They should have had to get the rebound. Nah, what a stupid moment that was.
That was dumb. They went small. I did. I mean, Battier was the biggest guy on the court. I'm watching the highlight.
Yeah.
Tough.
I still take my best player off the court.
Again, where do you rank this in greatest shots of all time? Honestly, I mean, it's got to be up there, right? Just the moment, how clutch it was, being Ray Allen, one of the greatest shooters of all time.
I mean, number one's Jordan against the Jazz, right?
Probably.
Just that moment.
Yeah,
that's number one, right? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got
to
be.
I mean, Allen's is up there, but just kind of a scramble to tie the game rather than win it. I know they did end up winning the game in overtime and winning the championship. I mean, it's top 3 or 4. I don't know what the greatest shots rank list would be. It's obviously iconic.
That would be kind of tough, I guess. Especially, I mean, probably just have to think finals, right?
It being Ray Allen maybe knocks it down just a little bit because he's not the guy. Like, Jordan gets the credit, you know.
Yeah.
He'll become the GOAT.
What about Kyrie Irving's three?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
I mean, that's
got to
be up there, too. Especially with completing the 3-1 comeback.
Yeah.
Greatest team in the NBA.
Yeah. There's, what, like 40 seconds left when that happened? A minute left?
Yeah. I just know Steph shot a three after that and didn't hit rim.
Kevin Love clamped him up.
Didn't even hit rim on it.
Kevin Love clamped him up.
Love.
Yeah. So, I mean.
It's up there.
Yeah. I mean, it's an iconic shot for sure.
Hmm.
Also, being a lot of money. A lot of money. After that game, just went and took a shower for about an hour. As I said there.
That had to be tough.
Beers, maybe.
Yeah. No, no beers. No beers.
What happened in overtime of this game? I don't remember overtime. Did the Heat just run away with it?
I'm going to be honest. I don't remember either. I know the Spurs still covered the
That makes me
points.
Think it was kind of a runaway a little bit.
I don't think there was an iconic moment, but I don't know. How many did the Heat win by in overtime? Four or five? I don't know. I feel like the Spurs still covered the seven. The real problem was game seven. The Spurs fell apart and it's a two-point game with 18 seconds left, and they – lost by eight.
Yeah.
Didn't cover the spread in that one. Kawhi Leonard missing that free throw. Had a chance to put him up four before the Ray Allen shot. Many people forget that.
What year was that?
2013.
13? Yeah, I guess 8 years ago today.
Next headline, please.
I just wanted to mention the final score was.
Finally found a way to bring me down today.
That's kind of old news. It's 103-100. 8-5 in the overtime, kind of low scoring.
Yeah.
Either way, Brett McMurphy tweeted out about 30 minutes ago that he is getting told by sources about 4-10 bowl games will be eliminated when the 12-team playoff format does begin.
Fine by me.
They said he got asked if other bowls will be eliminated by – he asked the College Football Playoff's Bill Hancock. I guess that's an important guy. I don't really know who Bill Hancock is.
Bill Hancock's important.
He is. Big name. He said, that won't be for us to say. My strongest answer to that is there will always be a place for bowl games. So, sounds like they're going to try their best to keep it going. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that works out. You said not an issue with this?
I mean, I don't have one.
Well, eliminating bowl games, less of a chance to see, you know, Tennessee in the postseason there, buddy.
If Tennessee qualifies, they'll be in there.
Good time to get that bowl, bam.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's true.
What did you make of Phil Mickelson getting a little frustrated with the fans yesterday? What was he talking about? Taking pictures, I guess, with their cameras, cell phones.
Like, how else would it bother him? It's not like there's. I get it if like cameras are like doing the.
Yeah, making the noise.
Yeah, that would bother me
for sure.
For just like, I mean, unless the flash is just going off. If the flash is going off, then I understand that.
I guess. Let's see. He does say. Audible, yeah, so I guess it was kind of making some noise a little bit. Spectators who did not switch their cell phone cameras off during the first round, so yeah, I guess it was making some noise. It got to the point where he actually had there was a cop, like a security, kind of come and like talk to some of the fans. So
and they call Bryson soft.
What are you talking about here? You know, I don't think you're a big Phil fan. I think that's what this is.
I'm not a Phil fan, really. But I mean, calling the cops? Over a camera?
Yeah, third time resulted in. It was third time, though. I mean, isn't there
three
strikes and you're out?
Was it the same guy all three times? The guy just called him? Or?
I'm not sure. It doesn't really say that. It does say third time resulted in a police officer being summoned. And while Mickelson did not use an excuse, he pushed his approach well left into the bush and took a penalty stroke. That would be honest, though. You're out there golfing. You're trying to get in your groove. You're trying to do your thing. And you got, you know, noises and flashes and fans.
You wouldn't have the same thing if you wouldn't have shot four over.
Mickelson did say it's part of professional golf. You have to learn to deal with it. I don't understand why you can't just turn the little button on the side into silence, so it was making noise.
Oh, well, that, I mean,
that's a little bit more.
I think that's a fair critique, but I mean,
I probably didn't deal with
the cops.
He did say I probably didn't deal with it internally as well as I could have or as well as I need to. It's part of playing the game out here at this level.
He was frustrated.
Certainly, I didn't do it. Yeah, he was not playing up to par.
Everyone's boy Jordan Spieth went 6-over yesterday.
Oh, God. Did he really?
6-over?
Yeah. Ugly.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which my boy Morikawa went 4-over, so I can't talk too much. DJ, in the process of a really bad round today, as he is 4-over through 9 after shooting even par yesterday. Bogeyed four straight holes on the back nine. He started on the back nine. did birdie too, so maybe he can get something going, but gonna have to if he wants to play this weekend.
He's still number one, right? Like in the overall world.
I thought he might have gotten passed by Cantlay last weekend after Cantlay won, but I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, he should. He has not been playing well as of late.
Yeah.
Old DJ.
Let's see, the official world golf rankings. Nope, DJ's still number one. I don't know why I thought Cantlay. Maybe Cantlay passed him at points or something. According to OWGR, I don't know what the hell that means. Dustin Johnson's still number one. Thomas two. Rahm three. Morikawa four. Bryson five. Cantlay seven.
Xander at six.
Xander's at six, correct.
Mm.
Any other headlines?
Yes. Wanted to talk little soccer for you. And not even talking about the Euro Cup going down after your team kind of blew it, didn't they?
No, they scored the one goal in the second half.
Okay, I guess they avoided a little bit. Wrexham AFC, does that ring a bell? That team.
I'm assuming you did not say this correctly, so I don't.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Wrexham. How would you say?
Is that the Ryan Reynolds team?
That is Ryan Reynolds team, apparently.
I don't know if that's how you say it or not. I don't know how to say it if it is.
It's also owned by, who is Rob McKelleny?
Mac from Always Sunny.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay. Wow. Never knew his actual name.
Soccer team together.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Apparently, that team will be headed to the United States for a preseason friendly against Major League Soccer Philadelphia Union in July. That's club announced. Cool. Yeah.
Them buying it's going to give them a lot of cachet in America. So they're playing who? Philadelphia?
Philadelphia Union.
Nice connection right there.
Yeah, I was going to say Mac's always repping for Philly, so that makes sense.
He's been tweeting idiotic stuff about the Sixers.
Did he tweet anything besides, like, I still believe Sixers and seven?
I've seen that one, but he's been tweeting the whole series. I can't remember the stuff he was saying.
He's a real fan, so I don't have a problem. I do like that after he tweeted that they still believe after game five, just flooded with, pictures, memes of Frank hanging himself, trying to hang himself. Yeah, and
the gang in six.
Another one where, the gang loses in six. Another one where they're at the project. I don't know if that was Project Bass. It's when they're on the bridge, and he's like, Frank looks back. He's like, suicide is badass. As like somebody's jumping off the bridge. So some good Always Sunny memes about despair,
right?
That I can't wait to flood Sixers fans with tonight.
Man, he did have a nice vulgar tweet, to say the least.
Okay.
He said, "I don't give a bleep about the details. Sixers in seven. Come at me. Let's go." And he did a shimmy in AI.
I agree with him.
And AI, dapped up Trey after game five. I guarantee you, I was going to say Sixers fans, but there's probably not very many listening. I haven't ran across too many of them in my little circle, but I guarantee you AI likes Trey Young more than anybody on that Sixers team. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Not Ben Simmons.
I guarantee you AI looks at Ben Simmons and thinks he is the biggest loser ever. He looks at Embiid and thinks he is soft. Like, I mean, AI's like, if I was 7 foot, if I had Embiid's body, I'd be the best ever. Not some baby. I guarantee you he likes Trae Young and respects him much, much more than any Sixer.
Okay.
Just saying, Mac, if you're listening. He's probably not.
Let's say. Yeah. I doubt it.
He's probably not. Any other headlines? Good batch of them. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We are almost here. It is almost the weekend, but it is still Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Omaha coming up 2 days. I did see that Tennessee going to be facing the number 60 ranked prospect this weekend on Sunday. I believe, or 61, Andrew Abbott.
Andrew
lefty
Abbott.
That's
he
going
got touched
to,
up by four runs against Dallas Baptist, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pitch consistent shutouts, or it's hard to be as dominant consistently in college baseball as it is in the pros, but he's still a second round prospect, or I guess 61 would put him at the very first pick of the third round. But either way, Tennessee going to be going up against a big lefty on Sunday as they start the tournament. I do think this goes without saying, but winning the first game is very, very vital to your chances of winning. You don't want to go in that loser's bracket right off the start, right? You want to be able to avoid the loser's bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be able to do that.
Probably a best case scenario with the pull of Virginia, though.
What do you mean with the pull of Virginia?
Why we got selected to play them?
Right.
And every other team has offensive juggernauts, but this team is more of the whole team inclusive, not necessarily the one couple players. They don't hit the most homers. They do what they need to. Mm-hmm. But they're like, we're clearly the superior offensive team. Texas is superior offensive. NC State is from beating like Arkansas and all their pitchers.
So you don't worry about going up against first 3-round pick or top 61 pitcher. That to me that worries me a little bit because that's places him among the elite when it comes like or maybe not the elite among the great. He's not up there mm-hmm. with Rocker.
Yeah.
And Leiter, but he's a guy who, is on the radar and, again, a top 61 guy.
Yeah, like, he's gonna shove. He's going to get his. I think we were saying earlier that he was third in the NCAA in strikeouts behind mm-hmm. Leiter mm-hmm. and Rocker. So, I mean, yeah, he's going to be good, except our pitching, I think, will be able to show up against their lineup. So it's not going to be like a super heavy scoring game, but I see us still getting that edge just because our offense is better.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to play guys like this anyway, so might as well get out the way.
Mm-hmm.
Brady House, name you might not be familiar with. It is a Tennessee commitment out of Georgia. Where is Winder Barrow High School at, Cam? You ever heard of it?
Winder Barrow?
Winder Barrow.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's definitely outside the Atlanta area. It's one of those baseball towns.
Brady House is a Tennessee commitment. He is actually projected to be the number 5 pick in the draft, which means I don't think he's coming to Tennessee.
Wouldn't expect him to.
No. But good recruiting by Tello. Good job. Chad Dallas comes in at 82, 82nd on this draft. Max Ferguson comes in on 95th. Chase Burns, a big right-handed pitcher from Beach, another Tennessee commitment. He comes in at 104. I do think with him, if you're going to be drafted, 104 put you what, in the middle of the fourth round. I do think at that point you come to school instead. So, that's probably a pretty good projection for Tennessee. On the radar, come to school, build your brand. If you're a fourth-round pick, you're not going to be on the fast track to get to the pros. You're going to spend time in the minors. I'd rather spend my 3 years developing in college, kind of being a big man on campus type of thing, especially around this team. So that was good news, I guess, for Tennessee. And then Ryan Spikes, another shortstop, Tennessee commitment out of Parkview High School in Georgia.
Okay, I know Parkview. That's
and
like
we just got a
15
transfer.
15 minutes from me.
Yep, got a big transfer from Missouri. Got a hard-throwing pitcher that didn't have the best stats, but, didn't have the best defense behind him and didn't have maybe the best coaching. Maybe Tennessee thinks they can get him here, fix one or two things mechanically. Because they don't just put guys – guys that throw 100 don't grow in trees. So you take a chance on a commitment from Missouri, bring him in, and a guy that was, once a top 40 player on his recruiting profile, went to Missouri, was injured 1 year, COVID shut down another year, kind of struggled this last year, and then you bring him in, maybe tinker with it, fix it. He'll get cleared because of the SEC transfer rules. Tennessee gets a hard throwing picture.
The Vitello effect.
The Vitello effect. So Tennessee, some good news. Like I said, you got some highly ranked prospects on the draft boards. You got a transfer coming in, and now you have a big upcoming 9 days of baseball where Tennessee going to be front and center in the college baseball world. Excitement level, Draven, 1 to 20?
1 to 20. I'd say about 14 right now. And the rest is nerves. I'm nervous about it. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not nervous. It's weird.
Well,
but I believe in the team.
I envy you.
I believe in the team.
You guys know a lot of people going up to Omaha or what?
I know a couple people going, and I know a lot of people that have, kind of put plans together to go if Tennessee advances to the championship. It's just hard logistically.
So the championship game would be on what, next Sunday?
It would be Monday, Tuesday.
Monday, Tuesday, okay.
Wednesday. It would be if it's a 3-game series, it would be Monday, Tuesday,
kind of
Wednesday.
Whack. Wouldn't you rather have the championship game? I know it's just how it works out with the whole bracket or whatever. Yeah, but, man, I think you'd rather have it on, a Sunday at least.
I think the problem is they need that Sunday in case they have to play 2 games. There are going to be 2 games for teams coming out of the
– Right.
Trying to come out of the loser's bracket, so you need that. You'd rather do that than make them play in the middle of the day.
You could essentially get just tickets to the championship game if Tennessee
only
was to make it.
$35 right now.
Really?
Yep, sit in the outfield for the championship game. Well, there's 3 games. So,
I'm sure they'll go up as you
as
get
teams,
closer to the – yeah.
As teams figure out who's there. And, $35, they're not even sold out. But, eventually they'll get bought up, and then you'll have to hit the resale market. But I know some friends that have already bought some, just think either, I got a bargain or I'll be able to sell them at least for the money I paid for them if somebody else makes it. I'm not nervous, though. Maybe that's a bad sign. Maybe I will be after Sunday when if Tennessee's facing elimination, if this pitcher is able to come out and shut down this Tennessee offense. But this team's I think this team's earned our trust. They've come up in almost every big moment.
I think you're right on that one. Still, man, Omaha, it's a little different. It's big time.
It is. It is. But you know, you talk about pressure, you talk about house money. I mean, I feel like every team probably except Vanderbilt that's there right now feels like, hey, you know, we accomplish our goal. Let's just play, let loose and go out there and see if we can win it. Vanderbilt maybe feels a little bit differently.
You think they got the most pressure?
Yeah, I mean, they got the two, like I said, top six picks and best two pitchers there. So, I mean, they should win it. They have the legacy of winning it. And they just won, what, the last one that was played in 19, right? I mean, they're the defending champions?
Yeah.
So they're supposed to win it. I would say that's the team that feels pressure. I mean, hell, when you get 30 scholarship players compared to everyone else's 11, like you're kind of playing by different rules.
Wait, what? How does that work?
I don't know if it's, I think it's because they're a private school, but they're able to put something in that basically if you're an athlete and you qualify for Vanderbilt, you don't have to pay. Like, you won't be turned away for money. And they have a system that allows them to alter cost of attendance based on the income of your family. And basically what it spells out to is that they kind of can set the price of for athletes to come. And basically athletes can pay, you know, $1,000 for the semester if it's all they can afford and they come there. So that really helps with the cost of attendance. Whereas, you know, Tennessee, let's just say it's an $8,000 a semester, kind of regardless of what your family makes. I know there's help with FAFSA or whatever, but they don't. You have to get like that through financial aid and everything. And for some people, it'd be too expensive to come from out of state, whereas Vanderbilt can kind of recruit all across the country. It's kind of what it spills out to. It's been criticized.
I don't know that. I was
just
about to say.
Out, like, Vanderbilt just kind of has an unfair advantage.
Yep.
Like I said, they basically have 30 scholarship players versus 11. So they're a machine. They're a machine. That's why I don't subscribe to the whole Tennessee's the villains of this. Like, everyone should be rooting against Vanderbilt. Like, yeah. I think the rest of the SEC might hate Tennessee, but the rest of the country, I think, is going to gravitate to this Tennessee team. I think that's going to be a big topic of discussion over the next. If this team wins a couple games, especially dramatically.
Tony V getting energetic. Yeah.
And this team just has swag. And, yeah, like, you're going to see Vitello, and everyone's going to take notice. Of like, whoa, that's a good-looking man. Look at that head of hair. Feels like the Globo Gym taking on the average Joes. You're on the other side of the bracket, just kind of going to meet in the middle.
Yep.
Collision course. And I think we're going to be again, I know we're trying to embrace the villain role, but I do think the rest of the country is going to really rally behind this Tennessee baseball team. At least that's what I keep telling myself.
We'll see. See what happens.
So you're nervous. 14 out of 20. Cam, you're bought into baseball. You ready to go?
Bring him back out.
You're back out?
Yeah, I'm back out.
What happened?
There was a lot of baseball talk.
You're back out?
Come on.
You're just happy for the people, but they're happy for it. Like,
you were just,
it doesn't really do anything for me.
You were just lying to us.
You know? Well, I was back in earlier, but.
You know, didn't take long.
Draven kind of killed the mood with his bad takes.
It's always my fault, huh?
Man.
I wish you two could get along. It's Friday.
I'm trying. I really am trying.
He even said it the way you like, Draven.
I even said it the way Draven likes.
I'm trying. Don't blame me. Blame Cam.
It's both.
Cam's
of
still
you.
Mad.
I'm gonna blame both of you. Is that
mad.
Fair?
I'm just back focused on what matters, and that's game six.
That is game six. You are right. Mm-hmm. That is game six. We're focused on what matters.
Like a 76ers fan,
I am. I think I am gonna be one tonight.
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean you are gonna be one tonight? You've been one for the last six games.
I'll put a little money on him probably tonight, and then you know enjoy the game. Sixers and seven, just like what is his name? What do you say? It's always Sunny guy. What's his name?
Mac.
I'm behind Mac. Yeah. Sixers and seven.
Kind of look like Mac.
Of course I do.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. 45. This segment's brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, remember this website, g3helpme.com. g3helpme.com. Or call them at 865-558-8030. They've been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Game sixes. Draven, what are the biggest storylines tonight?
Where to start? Donovan Mitchell,
Donovan Mitchell's health is number one for you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could talk about the Sixers and their inability to come up clutch. Doc Rivers' inability to come up clutch. But
yeah, I saw a graphic of the – it was kind of weird. They did him kind of dirty. They're like the biggest blown leads of the playoffs the last 2 years, and Doc Rivers had five of the top seven, I think, or top eight of the playoffs.
Man.
But it was, again, the last 2 years where, of course, like the Clippers blew three straight against the Nuggets last year.
Yep.
And then the Sixers have blown two straight against the Hawks. So Doc Rivers, if they lose this series, is there a chance he gets fired after 1 year?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Man.
He has so much respect, like, around the league just for, like, being a player's guy and players like him. But, like, I feel like you have to realize, like, man, this guy's just not going to win a championship. If he loses this series, like, again, after blowing two straight, basically 20-point leads. I know the one game was just only 18, but still, two straight 20-point leads.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with losing to the Atlanta Hawks. There's nothing wrong with that. So maybe he keeps his job because they're just like, wait, that team's special.
Really good.
That team's really special. Yeah. So I think he'll be all right.
I just wonder with the news of Rick Carlisle being on the market, like what he's going to demand. You know, what kind of interest he's going to demand. Are teams looking at him as like, you know what, this guy got kind of an unfair shake in Dallas. He's a really good coach. People always talk about how good of a coach he is.
Yep.
And look and say, this guy might be able to get us over the hump. He knows what he's doing. He's versatile. He's able to mold and run zone if he has to, run a ball-dominant offense with Luka if he has to, but also can set up, you know, different things where the ball gets moved around. He does seem to be kind of malleable when
Woj tweeted out about it?
I did not.
He said, Rick Carlisle suddenly becomes a prominent candidate in a head coaching marketplace that includes six current openings.
Did he say, like, which ones?
No, did not list which ones. He said it may be more to come.
Maybe more to come. Is that basically saying Budenholzer is going to get fired?
Well, saying somebody's probably going to get fired, at least, I would say.
Well, there are three generational talents right now, right, that are available to be coached, assuming Budenholzer gets fired. Because I think Budenholzer's going to get fired unless they win the title.
What if they win this series to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then he loses to the Sixers or Hawks?
They need to win the next round, too. Maybe you can lose the finals and keep your job, but I think unless he gets to the finals, he'd get fired. Hmm. I don't think you can just say, hey, you keep your job because you beat a hobbled James Harden, no Kyrie Irving.
You think Sixers are under a lot more pressure than the Jazz, right? Or you think the Jazz without Kawhi Leonard, maybe a little bit more? Jazz kind of choke artists too, by the way.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think the Jazz are under more pressure. Cam, where do you go on that?
Yeah, with Leonard being out, yes. But if Donovan Mitchell doesn't play, then I say no. You know, because you're just like, well, they kind of ended up in a tough situation here, and they had a chance to, you know, at least push it to seven or whatever, but no Donovan Mitchell. I think it helps a little bit with that, but also, yeah, them not having Leonard on the other side adds a lot of pressure because you're expected to beat that team.
And, like, just the season you have, right?
Yeah. Especially how the last game went as well. Like, yeah, they need this. I mean, the Sixers are under a lot of pressure, too, though. I mean,
I was about to say, I mean, like, nobody – I know you guys think the Hawks are good, but, like, nobody thought the Hawks would compete in this series, I don't think. Right? I think that was the whole narrative, I mean, pretty much.
The Hawks wouldn't compete in this?
Yeah. I mean, the Sixers are expected to be kind of on a crash course for at least the Nets and the Bucks. I mean,
Once Embiid was cleared, especially, I mean, I think there was some concern whenever, you know, Embiid was hobbled, and they thought, you know, he might miss.
Yeah.
Although, keep in mind, I tweeted out the Hawks compete the Sixers, and everyone's like, oh, John, you're so stupid. But then, you know, the Hawks competed with the Sixers. But if you're the Jazz, is this not it, though? Was this not like a special season where you were the one seed and you have it all laid out here right in front of you? Chris Paul's in COVID protocol. You have home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Like, to me, if you're the Jazz, like, you've been waiting since the, you know, 98 season for this opportunity.
LeBron getting knocked out of the playoffs early.
After mocking you. Yeah. You know, LeBron mocks you during the All-Star ceremony. Your players are picked last. Both players are picked last in the All-Star draft. LeBron mocks you. I feel like at this point, you kind of got to finish the deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't even beat playoff P.
I mean, yeah, that's it. Like,
that would be the narrative.
Like, I think you're under a lot of pressure even if Kawhi was playing, but much less with no Kawhi. Like, and I understand Donovan Mitchell is hobbled, but, man, they don't have their best player. Like, maybe the second or third best player in the league's not playing. You have to win this game. Do you not?
Yeah.
Yep. Sure do.
You have to win this game. It's a must.
They have the whole Conley excuse, right? I mean, that's their...
Happy plays tonight.
Yeah.
What's any updates on that, Mike Conley?
I mean, they say he's on pace to play. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if there's an update from it, but you're the Jazz. You've been waiting for this moment, like I said, for 23 years. Mm-hmm. Feels like you need to win this game. Feels like you need to win it.
You feel like you have a team that should be there. So
the Sixers, when it comes to pressure, I do think it's possible Doc Rivers gets fired if they lose this game.
I getting
think
a
it's
one
possible.
Seed, it's crazy. But I mean, it's like Dwayne Casey, got coach of the year, got fired. I mean, he was the top seed in the East.
It wouldn't all be because of Doc Rivers' failures this year, but it would be because of you have this opportunity. The Nets are hobbled.
You don't think it would be more like a Ben Simmons? Like scapegoat more than Doc Rivers, just a little bit, just to say we gotta get more shooting, we gotta get another guy working with Embiid. Like I feel like that would be the narrative. Keep Doc Rivers.
Five straight years for Rivers though of just like.
Well, it's also
Chris Paul. I mean, 2014 with the Clippers. Like it's been six or
it's
seven
also
years.
Also, like four straight years of disappointment for the Sixers with this combo, basically, yeah. Right? I mean, four or five straight years of doing nothing with these two supposed to be just unbelievable talents, two number one picks?
Yeah, maybe at that point you just look and say, yep, we're getting rid of Ben Simmons, and we'll let Doc coach CJ McCollum and Embiid and see how that goes.
Because essentially the Sixers literally traded for Seth just so they could have an offensive position from a guard position. So it's like if you combine Steph's offensive shooting with everything else of Ben Simmons, you have one great player. So that means with all the liabilities that you have from Seth, Sixers only have four people. And you can't win a basketball game if you only have four legit people.
Especially Ben Simmons is supposed to be this great defender, right? And he's not even, like you said, D-ing up Trae Young when it matters most.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of with that. I mean,
I'm just saying.
Trey's pretty good.
Could slow him down a little bit.
Cam, how you feeling?
Oh, I'm. We're winning. It's over. Let's handle business. Let's get out of there. Let's move on.
Simple ass.
Yep.
Confident.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Confident.
Well, we lost one home game in the past 20 or so. Handle business at home. Do your thing.
MLK jerseys tonight. Have they announced the MLK jerseys yet tonight?
Again?
Yeah, they wear them.
They've been working. They wear them in the first season.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. Those are slick.
They win a bunch of games when they wear them.
Yeah.
They still have the jersey with the neon on it?
They don't really wear that anymore.
Okay. Yeah, that was
No, they changed. Always a weird choice for me. They changed to these, like the red and yellow ones they kind of have. Oh.
Which game goes to a game seven, John? What are you thinking?
I mean, I do think the Jazz win tonight. 2.5-point favorites on the road. On FanDuel. Sixers 2.5-point favorites on the road on FanDuel as well. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers won, obviously. It sounds weird, but I would kind of be surprised if the Clippers won, especially if Conley plays. Or right? I mean, is that wrong to say? Like, do you think the Clippers win tonight? Because, I mean, I know you've been beating the drum, playoff
They're wearing
that,
the jerseys, by the way.
Huh?
They're wearing the MLK jerseys.
Nice. Am I wrong for saying I'd be surprised if the Clippers, who just won Game 5, turned around and won Game 6 at home, made their first ever conference finals?
I mean, Utah's not the same team on the road.
Right. And, I mean, they're not the same team with Mitchell hobbled either, but yeah. I still just don't – I'd just be shocked if the Clippers won two in a row after Kawhi went out.
Yeah, it just – it usually doesn't happen that way. Like, usually you can't have a bounce-back game, that first one when your star goes down, just because – I don't know, it's just mentally you're like, oh, we got to step up, but it usually doesn't hold for multiple games, so.
Would you be ready to admit that Paul George is better than Rudy Gobert if Paul George is able to close him out tonight with another solid performance?
I don't react to four games.
Oh, my God. What more evidence do you need?
I give Paul George's credit.
It's a best-of-seven series, almost head-to-head. Like,
the regular
literally.
Season's 70 games.
The regular season doesn't even matter, man. We literally say playoffs, it's when it changes. It's when the refs don't give you all these calls.
If the regular season doesn't matter, then Paul George is definitely not better than Rudy Gobert. I mean, if we're going off just playoff careers, do I need to go back to the stats of 17 and 18?
What has Rudy Gobert ever done in the playoffs other than blow that 3-1 lead and let Jokic give him the business for three straight games?
Not had a track record like Paul George. Not had that track record. He's never pulled a real stinker like that, at least in the playoffs.
Paul George is pretty good in Indiana. not terrible with Oklahoma City. I feel like that was more on Russ. We can admit that. Just two guys that weren't super clutch in the playoffs. It wasn't a good combo. Well, maybe not. Yeah, a little bit.
I'll give it both of them.
The USA basketball team's filling out a little bit.
What they got?
Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum are on there. along with Dame and Draymond, who we kind of mentioned.
Now, I will say that this, the USA basketball is where people start talking about teaming up. If I was a Wizards fan, I'd be like, God damn it. Beal's playing with his boy Tatum. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dame out there, too. Just
yeah.
Like.
Yeah. That's where, that's where the big three reportedly got their itch to play together for Miami, was in the 2008 Olympics. Ooh. And they made the deal like, hey, we're going to play together when we're all free agents. And then they did.
I'd say the Celtics had something to do with that as well, kind of following their big three format a little bit.
I don't know if that came to fruition. That one kind of just came together because Danny Ainge and Mikal were boys, because Kevin Garnett was like, had to be convinced to go there, and so did Ray Allen. So like it was a little bit different, but something to keep an eye on. Last call on the other side. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio. Last call here on the program, brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Promo code FANRUN, 15% off your lands. Go throw some axes this weekend. Support the people who support us. July 2nd, 2 weeks from today, we'll be out there for a remote doing some giveaways. Make plans to come and kick it with us. Cameron.
Yes.
Let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. You're my go-to guy here. What do you got for us?
Okay. I got the most misspelled words of each state.
There.
Oh, I'll tell you the time frame. It was from March 2020 to March 2021.
Coronavirus.
It was up there, but it wasn't number one. Number one was quarantine.
Oh, that checks out.
And apparently, the tough, most common misspelling was quarantine.
Like with a C?
Like, yes, like C-O-R-N-T-E-E-N.
Thank you, Adidas, for letting me know that I didn't get selected for those shoes after making me wait.
I hate America.
Quarantine was the most misspelled word in Tennessee.
What is?
Quarantine.
Quarantine?
Yeah.
Quarantine.
Quarantine.
Quarantine was the most misspelled one across the board. Favorite was the second one.
Favorite?
Yeah.
Seems like an easy one.
Yeah.
Did they like put a U in it, I guess?
Yeah,
so
we were doing that, yeah. Coronavirus was kind of next. And then every, believe, definitely, and separate also had multiple states. Any state you're interested in, a specific one?
Alabama.
Alabama was which?
W-I-T-C-H.
Which or W-H-I-C-H, like which?
W-H-I-C-H.
Yeah.
Raven, you from Alabama?
Words are hard, man.
Words are hard, to be honest.
You know?
Words are hard.
They say our language, English,
is the toughest.
Yeah, toughest to learn, toughest to grasp.
You got so many.
Because it doesn't make sense.
Like homophones, right? Homophones, is that how you say it? The ones that like
sound the same, mean different.
We do have a lot of those in this country.
Yeah. Then and then, kicks people's ass on a daily.
Always.
I feel like that's not that hard, though.
It's not.
Comparing.
I don't think it is either, but the effect and effect. Kicks people's
That'll get me too. I'm still confused about that one. One's a verb, one's a
just when you think of effect, it's just action with the A. That's the easy way to remember it.
For some reason, Florida was Googling how to spell Googling the word Pharaoh, and that was their most misspelled word.
What'd you say, Florida?
Like Pharaoh,
like Egypt. Like, yeah. I don't know what they were doing down there, but apparently
honestly,
a lot of people were trying to
spell
Google
Pharaoh, John. Spell it for me.
P H A R A O H.
That is correct.
Wow. I probably couldn't have spelled that. That O H would have got me at the end.
Draven, can you spell quarantine?
Oh, it's that A in there.
I can spell quarantine.
Let's hear it.
The pressure.
You made me spell Pharaoh. Hear it. You've seen the word quarantine.
It's
the
most. C Q U A R A T I N E?
No.
No.
Is that like for real?
No, not even close.
What? This is why that's the most misspelled word in Tennessee.
Q-U-A-R-A. Oh, there's an N. Quarantine. Yeah. I spelled quarantine.
So Tennessee checks out. We just fact checked out.
I forgot one N.
And
come
Draven
on.
Just had to Google it. I forgot one N. It's a pretty important N.
Q-U-A-R-A. Yeah, I forgot the one N.
Quarantine, not quarantine.
Yeah, he's a quarantine.
Quarantine.
Words are hard, John. Okay, you shouldn't be making fun of people for not for
if you
misspelling
to
or mispronouncing
Pharaoh,
words.
If you would have tried to make
well,
Pharaoh
is a little bit easier than quarantine.
Is it? You just
give me another one. Give me another one. Give me another one. Give me another one.
Pharaoh before the.
Give me another one.
One of the ones off this list. How do you spell? Definitely.
You got definitely.
I definitely got it. Let's see. Actually, D-E-F-I-N-E-T-L-Y, right? Definitely.
No, you lost it. You lost it on that backstretch.
You missed it again.
Are you serious? D-E-F-N-E. I can't even spell it on here. What'd I miss? D-E-F-I-N. Oh, because that'd be I-T-E-L. You know what? Forget it. This is making me look stupid.
It's not even Tuesday.
You already did that with your takes earlier.
That was a low blow. Is it a low blow? I feel like can't make you spell definitely.
Give John another one. Give John another one. Give him a hard one.
There's not. These aren't hard words. These are.
You couldn't have spelled definitely right.
You don't think I can spell definitely? Spelling is actually one of my strong suits.
Yeah,
we'll see
the spelling
then,
bee
Chief.
Days on
Give
here.
Him another
he
one.
New spelling bees here.
Yeah.
Dude, these words aren't hard. Like there isn't any other hard words on here.
Which. W-H-I-C-H.
It's W-I-T-C-H, actually.
Separate.
Ooh. Go for it, big guy.
I kind of want to see you misspell this again. S-E-P-A-R-A-T-E.
That is correct.
Yeah. I knew separate.
Did you?
I like how John gets the easy ones and I get the hard ones.
No, I'm telling you, there's
he
no
really
hard words
mad
on this list.
Ain't
he
really
gave
is mad.
Pharaoh. Pharaoh's tougher than definitely, okay?
That's
I literally
not
told
true.
You the words were
Pharaoh's
quarantine.
Not tougher than definitely.
How many vowels are in definitely? A lot. Four.
A lot in Pharaoh, too.
Four.
The most miscommon words here were all easy
four?
Words.
I guess there's three in Pharaoh.
It was quarantine, yeah. Favorite, coronavirus, every, believe, definitely.
Every.
Yeah.
E-V-E-R-Y?
Yes.
How else
three
would you spell
states.
It?
That was the most misspelled. Apparently, people were spelling it E-V-A-R-Y.
Every.
But yeah, that was it. There was some
people.
Yeah,
confident.
Probably not good.
Confident. That's a decent. That's not even hard either.
Intelligence isn't really judged by spelling.
Alaska couldn't spell 80.
80? Like the number?
Yeah.
We got autocorrect, bro. Like, who needs to spell stuff right anymore?
How,
we literally have autocorrect.
How humbling is it, though, when you try to spell something and you don't even get close enough for autocorrect? Though? Like
that's bad.
That's a humbling bad. Feeling when you don't even get close enough for autocorrect to even give you one of the three suggestions. You're like, oh, you're like, bro, you're way off.
So true.
You're just like, oh, damn it. Time to log off here.
Yeah. Exercise.
Use a different word for sure.
Yeah. Succeed.
Spell exercise, Draven.
E-X-E-R-C-I-S-E.
Let's go.
He did it.
Let's go. End on a good one. That's how you end on a good one.
Let's go. That felt good, too.
Confident.
That felt good, yeah.
Didn't even stop. Didn't ask for a definition, nothing.
Didn't need to.
Let's go, Big Draven.
For some reason, Maine can't spell watch.
Yeah, that's sad. Maybe these are just typos. Maybe it's just a bunch of typos.
That's a lot of typos if it's the number one in your state, though.
Drives up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.